Darren Fletcher, and this is Game Picks.
Hello and welcome to Game Picks, the NFL preview podcast, where I go head-to-head with my friends from around the NFL. We're going to try and see who can cut it when it comes to deciding winners and losers every week. I'm your host, Neil Reynolds, and I am a loser for the first time this season. So I went 9-5 last week. Asmir Begovic went 12-2 for the season. I'm 101-45-1. My guests are 94-52-1, and my guest today is the first returning guest of the Game Picks podcast. It is a warm welcome back to Darren Fletcher. How are you, mate?
I'm very good. I'm very good. What I would say, though, before we go any further.
Here we go.
And that is that there's been a deal of love for Asmir Begovic this week, having not only beaten you, but literally whipped your trousers down in plain sight. Right? He didn't just win, did he? Let's be honest. But if I take you back to week one, it was very, very quiet. It was just this, Neil's unbeaten. There was no credit whatsoever for my draw. And I'm the only other person, apart from Asmir, that's got anywhere near you. So right. I expected a bit more love. So I'm back here for two reasons. One, because I love you to bits. And two, because this is business, my friend. This is business. Ooh.
Well, I'll tell you what, that 30 seconds there is exactly why. So I've been wanting to have you back on as the first return guest for quite a while, but I was not going to do it until I'd lost my unbeaten streak. So I couldn't lose it to you. So as soon as I lost, I was like, right, brilliant. Let's get Fletch back on.
Yeah. I got to say, mate, the history tells me the chances of you losing to me is pretty remote. It's kind of a, I don't know, whenever they do the point spreads, I think I'd be about plus 10 and you'd be whatever, you know?
All right. So I am going to go head to head with one half of the Fumble podcast in Darren Fletcher, because the other half, Vernon Kay, is pretty busy right now. And we had Vernon on Game Picks heading into week 8, and he talked about heading off to the castle in Wales.
Yeah, we recorded Game Picks and we couldn't really talk about where I was because I was in quarantine because I'm doing I'm a Celebrity. So now that the lineup has been announced and this will either be played as it's announced or whilst I'm in there, I'm actually doing I'm a Celebrity. I'm in the jungle, and 2020 has been, everyone knows, it's been a god-awful year with COVID and everything we've had to put up with. So this year I thought, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go in there and try and make the girls proud. Tessie's doing Strictly. I'm going to be eating all sorts whilst I'm in there. And I think it's the kind of show that just puts a smile on people's faces. I think it'll just lift the nation as well, like Strictly has done since that started. And I thought, you know what, sod it. Bring on the kangaroo balls.
That's great. And where is it this year? Are you able to say?
So we're recording this prior to us announcing that I'm recording this in a secret location. So I'm on the island of Anglesey. I'm in the middle of nowhere, Neil.
Oh, wow.
Like, there's nothing around me. I'm in this beautiful farmhouse that they've put us in because they've put us all in separate residential apartments because we have to quarantine 2 weeks before we go in. And then the castle is in a place called Abergele, which is just before Llandudno. So if anyone's been to Llandudno, it's just before you get into Llandudno town centre, and it's on the right-hand side looking over the Irish Channel.
Fantastic. So not in Australia then, with all the beaches, is that when you get kicked out?
Oh, Neil, can you imagine the conversation when they phoned me up and said, Vernon, we've got some news. It's not going to be in Australia. My initial reaction was, okay, I'll do it next year. See you later.
Yeah, bye.
I'm like, North Wales? You're having a laugh.
Oh, but it's fantastic. It is a great show. In the Reynolds household, we sit and watch every episode. The girls were talking about it, and they're saying, when it gets to the end, the Christmas tree's up, and you're getting close to Christmas. It is a iconic show. We were talking about, the eating challenges, and even George at the dinner table was like, Vernon's going to be great in the physical challenges. Don't forget, beat the star. So I was like,
yeah, I beat a Royal Marine. Nice one, George. Put that one out the bag.
He does love. We did love beat the star. So, how many NFL references are you dropping in? You got to be careful, I suppose.
Well, I'm gonna drop as many NFL references as possible. I'm gonna try and talk in lyrics, or song titles.
Yeah.
Just to have a little bit of fun, you know. And I hope, whether you're a Bears fan or not, I hope that the UK NFL community get behind me because...
Absolutely.
I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to try and do everyone proud. Simple as that.
So, Fletch, you must be so proud of your boy, your partner in crime. Yeah, getting his lips around those deer's testicles last night.
I mean, last night I saw one of my good friends eat cow's teats and deer testicles. The thing that surprised me most was that he went for deer testicles. He'd normally go for the cheaper option, but he actually went for the deer ones on this occasion, being from Bolton and all that. But listen, I'm absolutely glued to it. And
yeah,
he's going to go far. Yeah, he's going to go far. And you know what? You know when you see him get up bleary-eyed in the morning and he walks through? That's exactly what he's like when we share a hotel at the Super Bowl. He gets up all bleary-eyed this morning. I'm thinking, I've been here before. The big difference is he doesn't have to pump the water while I'm in the shower, things like that. But he's doing great. He's doing great. We are Team Vernon all the way through.
Hey, budget cuts. When you know that that's the sort of hotel you're staying in, then you might want to rethink going to the Super Bowl. He is doing great. I think the whole NFL UK community should get behind Vernon. He loves his NFL. And all I'll say is that was a big old deer.
It was a big old deer. And we've been in conversation right the way through until he had his lines of communication taken down at the end. Because I'll let you into a secret and everybody else as well. He's been more concerned last week going into the castle about me taking over the management of his fantasy team than he has shoving various private parts of animals into his mouth while he's in there. So I've got the job of managing Vernon's team, London Warriors, in our fantasy league while he's in there. And he doesn't know yet that he was 7-1 going into this week.
What is
my
he now?
He's now 7-2. He's now 7-2. And this could be a bit of a theme. He may struggle to make the playoffs from here.
All right. Well, I hope that form for you continues today. Let's get into our picks. Okay, let's get into these picks then. And we're going to start with our big six. Let's start Thursday night. Arizona at Seattle. Big game in the NFC West, Fletch. Big for a Seahawks team now that have lost two in a row as well. Has the shine come off Russell Wilson a little bit?
I think you'll see a different Seattle team when they get Chris Carson back behind him. I think they, as well as Russell Wilson's played this year, they need the running game to be balanced. They can't play defense, so they need all the weapons on the offense that they can have. And I think teams have been able to key on Russell Wilson a hell of a lot more in the last couple of weeks because both Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde have been out. Carson comes back, we think, for this week. At least there's a possibility of that. But I've got to go with Arizona. I think they win again. I think they might just win the division. Kyler Murray's playing at an obscene level at the moment. He's got weapons, they're balanced. And I like Arizona by quite a margin, I think, in this one on Thursday. Mm.
I think Kyler Murray should be in the conversation when you think for the MVP, when you think Patrick Mahomes got it in his second year, Lamar Jackson got it in his second year. It's Kyler's second year. He's on pace for 4,000 passing yards, 1,000 rushing yards. So I think he's special. Just going back to Wilson as well. You see this in other sports in the football you cover. So I think there's physical pressure on Russell Wilson because he's been sacked 11 times in the last 2 weeks. But also I think there's mental pressure. You know, that kind of classic, I think he feels like he's got to get a touchdown every time he's on the field. And it's maybe same with a football team where you think, well, we've got to score 3 or 4 this week. I think Wilson's under that kind of pressure as well.
Yeah, possibly. And I would take it slightly further in as much as I actually wonder at the moment whether the Seattle record is a little bit of a smokescreen. I'm not necessarily sure that they're as good as the early weeks suggested. Russell Wilson was playing at an unworldly level at that time. But I think if you look at it, their defense is among the worst in the league. The offensive line can't block anybody. And I think if you're going to be a playoff team in the NFL, you can't have two huge factors like that going against you. You can't have a really weak offensive line and a really bad defense and get by. I think over the course of the season, this will level out. And I think unless Seattle can solve the problem via free agency or the draft over the next couple of off seasons, I don't think that they're going to give Russell Wilson a legitimate chance to win another Super Bowl, or Pete Carroll for that matter either. I don't think this Seattle team is as good as the record suggests, if I'm honest.
All right, that's enough for me. I'm going Seattle and you're going Arizona. Yeah, early drama.
Oh, you're going Seattle, are you?
Yeah,
wow.
Early drama.
I thought this week was going to be difficult, but clearly not.
No, I've got my big boy trousers on. I'm going to take a few risks.
Well, you need, go for it.
Yeah, you're going to goad me into it. Tennessee at Baltimore. So the Titans have lost three of their last four. Baltimore have the 31st passing attack in the NFL. I'm going to tell you now, I'm picking Baltimore because it's at home. But I don't see them as a true Super Bowl contender at the moment because I don't think they get enough out of Lamar and the passing attack.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Ravens as well because I just think they're better than Tennessee. But
yep.
I agree with you. But what I would say is I think it's the kind of offense that needs rhythm. And I think the offense at the moment is out of rhythm. And I think they could slot back into a nice rhythm very quickly. And I think by the end of the season, we might be looking at Baltimore differently than we are now. I think they're unfortunate against New England in as much as I don't think they're a team that plays very well from behind.
Right.
And they were behind in the rain. And that made it difficult for Lamar and the offensive pieces to get them back in it. And I also think as well, they've just lost their identity a little bit. And I think too, Neil, I don't want to kind of make out they've got a load of problems because I don't think they have. I think they're all fixable. But I think they're paying the penalty at the minute for not having a legitimate number one wide receiver in the NFL.
Yep, totally
there's not agree. Really, yeah, there's not really anybody for Lamar to find consistently apart from the tight end Mark Andrews. The rest of them are very much of a muchness. And I had this conversation the other day with someone. I said, if you swap Kyler Murray with Lamar Jackson, you would be waxing lyrical now about Lamar throwing to DeAndre Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald, and you would be saying to Kyler Murray, he's really struggling here. I think he needs some more pieces around him, Neil, Lamar Jackson, if they want to win a Super Bowl in Baltimore.
100% agree with all of that. Let's move on to Philadelphia at Cleveland. Philadelphia is so disappointing to me. And I know it's an offensive line issue. I know that. I know, you know, he's the most hit quarterback in the NFL, Carson Wentz. But when Brett Favre goes on TV and says, I think they should have stuck with Nick Foles, and when they draft a second-round quarterback in Jalen Hurts, I mean, the most popular man outside of Rocky Balboa in Philadelphia for the last 40 years has been the backup quarterback, whoever it's been. I mean, just seemed to have a thing for the backup quarterback. I think there's some pressure on Carson Wentz here now. What do you reckon?
Let me tell you, as a Chicago Bears fan, I would drive Nick Foles back to Philadelphia and bring Carson Wentz the other way. So whatever Brett Favre
Careful
is
what
drinking,
you wish for.
Yeah, whatever Brett Favre is drinking at the weekend, put it down and then do the interview. There's no way that Nick Foles is a better option than Carson Wentz, but there is a big concern. He looks to me, Neil, and a lot of people are saying this in the States, and I'd love to get your thoughts on it. I think he's regressed. I don't think he's kicked on to the level. I know that he's under pressure. I know that. I get that. The offensive line is banged up. And again, he's lacking one or two pieces around him, I think, as well. But I thought Carson Wentz was a better quarterback than this.
Yeah, he's part of it as well. He's absolutely part of it. You know, pressure makes quarterbacks make funny decisions. But I think then sometimes he'll escape from the pocket and he's got himself into a good position to make a throw downfield and then he doesn't make it. So that's why I think you could start with the offensive line. But absolutely now you're going to put this on Wentz as well. So I think I'm going to take Cleveland at home in this one. I'm just going to add to your point as well. Brett Favre isn't just drinking on the weekends.
Hey, Cleveland, Cleveland by a margin this, by the way. This is not close. Cleveland by a margin, yeah.
All right, let's go to Green Bay at Indianapolis. Bit of a strength on strength one here with the Packers offense and the Colts defense. Every time I'm ready to write off, and I picked against the Colts last week, every time I'm kind of ready to write off Philip Rivers and that, oh, the Rivers experiment isn't working. And I know you weren't overly as sold on it as I was in the offseason. You had concerns right from the get-go. I wanted to get behind it. And then he delivers a down performance. And then last week was good. But then it is a lot of stuff to the running backs out of the backfield still.
Yeah. I'm going to take the Colts in this. And I think the Colts are going to be one of the teams that, as the season goes on, second half of the season, I think they'll look better. Because you've got to factor in, even though Philip Rivers is a veteran and he's seen most things in the NFL, it's his first go with this team. Limited off-season opportunities to learn the offense and develop relationships with the players. So I think they might be one of the teams here who may well be better week eight onwards. And I also think one thing we need to just factor in here is that Michael Pittman, one of their high draft picks, the wide receiver, he's starting to become more of a factor in the offense. And I think they got a little bit bogged down in terms of T.Y. Hilton was underperforming. I thought he'd have a better relationship with Mo Ali Cox by this stage. But I think the introduction of Michael Pittman as a key piece in the Colts offense is going to give them that ability just to stretch the field a little bit more too. So I think offensively, they'll get better. Defensively, they've been as good as any team in the league. Yep. And I think we've seen in the last two or three games, you can slow down this Packers offense. They're not quite as explosive with Aaron Jones not being as good as he was before the injury. So I think it'll be close, but I like the Colts to nick it.
That's the concern for me, if I'm a Packers fan, is getting Aaron Jones back up to speed. I love the Devontae Adams connection, and obviously Rodgers is Rodgers. I think the receivers are coming on. Valdes-Scantling, looks like they get Alan Lazard back this week. But Aaron Jones was the driving force of the offense last year. He hasn't been this year. I don't think this is the game for him to be that as he gets back into shape. But I'm going to pick the Packers. I just trust them to get a few more points. I think the point you make about Pittman is valid, because so much has been Nyheim Hines out of the backfield or loft it up for Mo Ali Cox and get a pass interference penalty. That was the best play in the playbook for about a month there in the passing game. But it's going to be a close one, this one. So I'm going to go Green Bay. Let's go to Sunday Night Football. This is incredible. I was just writing up a story today, and the Chiefs, it's going to be week 11, 2020. Since week 11, 2019, they've lost just one game, and that was to the Raiders in week 5. They get them again on Sunday Night Football. That's just incredible consistency now when you look at how up and down sometimes everyone else is in the NFL.
Yeah, and again, I was chatting, I think it might be Vernon and myself were chatting about this, that when you look at the AFC, the two best teams are clearly the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
And we were looking at how that might actually work out if that's the AFC championship game. And I just look at the Chiefs at the moment, and I think they're further on in the regular season this year than they were at this stage last year. But I think it was the last four or five games of last season, the defense really started to click. And I think, again, that's the area for me. I think they're going to play the Raiders this week. And the Raiders, we know, have played a really tough schedule. I think their record is really good when you factor in the teams they've played. I think in terms of strength of schedule, they're right up there in the NFL. They've had a really tough run to now. But what they can do, the Raiders, is they can score points. And I think they'll score points on Kansas City again, as they did when they met before. Yep. But I just think this time, the Chiefs, you're not going to beat the Chiefs twice in the regular season. They're too good for that. The Chiefs will win the game. But I think looking slightly bigger picture, I think if they want to be able to beat Pittsburgh come playoff time, they have to get their defense to the level of the Steelers' defense as it is now, if they're going to win the shootout with Big Ben when it comes.
I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. I think you're right about the Raiders. They've been very impressive. I think that last week sort of summed up, I think, what John Gruden wants. They had 5 turnovers, a few sacks against Denver, and they ran for 203 yards. He's an old school coach. I think he quite liked that, even though actually when they beat the Chiefs in week 5, they did it over the top with long passes to Henry Ruggs. And just quickly, you mentioned there Pittsburgh and Kansas City as the top two teams in the AFC.
Yeah.
If we fast forwarded to the Super Bowl, who would give them the best challenge from the NFC? It's tough, isn't it?
It is, yeah, because I think the NFC is... I think the AFC at the moment is atypical of an NFL season, in as much as the two best teams that we're going to see are there now. Yep. And the NFL tends to go in 4-week blocks, and you look back and think, well, I wouldn't have said that 4 weeks ago. And I think that's what we're seeing in the NFC, that all of a sudden the Arizona Cardinals have popped up from nowhere. I think if you did the NFC playoffs now, you would put the Cardinals in as really strong contenders. But whether it looks that way in 4 or 5 weeks, I'm not so sure. I still think at the moment, if you said to me, look, your life depends on picking an NFC team to be in the Super Bowl, I would go with what I know, and what I know come playoff time is Brady, Gronkowski and that kind of group. So I still think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the team they've all got to beat. But I think you could get to the playoffs this year And the NFC Championship game could be something that none of us expect at this stage.
Yeah. So let's move on then. This is our last of the big six, and it features Gronk and Brady and stuff. It's Rams at Tampa Bay. Rams are not very... They're not grabbing the attention like some teams in the NFC are, but they're winning games. And, as you know, they proved that last week against against Seattle. I mean, I think I like Tampa Bay in this one, though. And I think, like you said, when they all get rolling and they get going, they're a 500 yards per game offense, aren't they, in Tampa?
Yeah. I mean, when I saw the Rams last week, it was obvious that they'd worked out that if they could stop DK Metcalf without the running game for Seattle, they were going to be in a strong position to win. They can't do that this week. They can quite happily put Jalen Ramsey on Mike Evans, but then Chris Godwin runs riot, Gronkowski, you know, Brown. I mean, there's so many pieces. You know, they can rotate Fournette and Jones. Had this been in LA, I think it might be a closer game. But I think wherever this is played, neutral field, home field, on the road, Tampa Bay are superior to the Rams at the moment, and I think they win it.
All right, I'm going Bucks as well. Let's get through all the other games then. Starting with Cincinnati at Washington. That's a tough one to pick. I don't, you know what I do now. I'll let you go first.
I'll dive in, mate. I don't mind. I'm going to go for Washington here. They're playing well on offense. I love the development of Antonio Gibson, the running back. McKissick is a nice alternative to him. Terry McLaurin is the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL. And I think the front four of Washington can give Joe Burrow problems. So I'm going to go for the Washington football team.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you. I think the defense will be the key as well. You're right to point out all of those guys on offense who are developing just need Alex Smith to avoid the mistakes. I thought he put up good yardage last week, so nice to see him back. I'm going Washington. Atlanta at New Orleans. This is fascinating to me because the Saints pride themselves on protecting the football. And we know Jameis Winston, and I assume it's Jameis Winston. I don't think they want to take Taysom Hill out of all of the special packages. Jameis Winston turned it over, 30 interceptions last year. He's just got to keep it simple, hasn't he? I mean, I'm probably going to go... you go first.
Okay, I'll go first. Listen, I'm going to go New Orleans because I just don't think Atlanta defensively are good enough to exploit Jameis Winston. I think there's your big problem. If Atlanta had any kind of defense, I think they might prey on the weakness. But I think Michael Thomas is back. Alvin Kamara is fine. They can run the ball and control the clock. They'll play better defense than Atlanta will. They're at home. I think this is a Saints win, and I don't think we should even blink, really. This will be a straightforward Saints win.
All right. Jameis is going to throw a pick. Atlanta.
Only one.
one pick and then another pick six. I'm going to go Atlanta on the road. There we go.
Boom.
Have that. I've lost, the pressure's off. I've already lost once now, and you know, if you beat me, you're not coming back on for sure.
I was maybe giving Begovic too much praise here, but listening to some of these picks, I'm not surprised he's won.
I think I've hit that rookie wall. I always say that was around week 10, week 11.
absolutely.
Pittsburgh at Jacksonville. Well, there you go. Pittsburgh for me.
Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Yeah. New England at Houston. So I think the Patriots, what we saw last week, they're going to just want to try and run it. It's not flash. It's not fun to watch, but it's the best they can muster at the moment. So I think they keep it going at Houston.
You see, the key phrase in that is at Houston. And right. I think the fact they're on the road, Deshaun Watson's at home, they're coming off a bit of a clunker against Cleveland. I like Houston to bounce back. I don't think either team's particularly good, but I'm just going to take home field here, so I'm going to go for the Texans. Deshaun Watson, I think, will just make more plays here than Cam Newton.
All right, let's go to the next one. Detroit at Carolina. So two banged-up quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford, I think, will play, so I think that's not a problem. Teddy Bridgewater probably won't, so you're looking at PJ Walker, last seen in the XFL. He was a star of that league while it was going. Give me Matthew Stafford and the Lions, although I never really trust the Lions because they're so week to week.
Yeah, I'm going to go Lions here. It's not just Teddy Bridgewater. It's the fact there's no Christian McCaffrey either. They don't particularly play great defense, Carolina. So I like Stafford. I like the Lions. I think the Lions could actually finish quite strongly. I think a lot of people thought they might just nick the division this year, but they made such a bad start, they probably won't. But I think they're a little bit better than the record suggests.
All right, let's move on. The Jets at the Chargers. So the Chargers have had some heartbreak in recent weeks. This is a chance for them to get right. So, you know, the Jets are lost. They're a lost franchise. I'm going Chargers.
Chargers. Chargers, yeah. Chargers could play the second strings and win this game.
They certainly could. Miami at Denver. So Drew Lock has hit some really rough form, and he's banged up as well. You said in week one,
I did,
that you were going to pick the Dolphins for the division, and I said to you, I couldn't get on board. I couldn't get on the bandwagon. I'm now, they wouldn't let me on the official bandwagon because I've been so fickle for about 20 years. So I'm just driving like my own kind of little Ford Fiesta behind the bandwagon, but I'm sort of following along. I'm believing in the Dolphins. I'm picking Miami to win on the road.
Yeah, I think Miami win. I got Miami winning 10 games before a pass was thrown this year, and I think that's well within their compass now. And I think if they can win the return game against the Bills, they still are in with a chance of winning the East. They're a really good team, well coached, getting better all the time. I really like Miami. If I'm a Miami fan, which I'm not, I know you are, I'm really optimistic about the future. The Dolphins win this game. They win 10 games this season. And don't forget where you heard it first. Week one, we were tipping the Fins. We were tipping the Fins, and we're still riding that Tua bandwagon.
There you go. You did call it. You did. Last one, Dallas at Minnesota. So Minnesota are starting to, well, they've steadied the ship, and it was Dalvin Cook who kind of steadied it for them. I think they can keep that going against Dallas. So I'm going to go Minnesota.
I actually had Minnesota as a playoff team. I didn't know they'd play defense as badly as they are doing. But
no one saw that coming.
No, but on offense, I mean, they're really good, you know. So I like Minnesota, and again, like Detroit, I think on a level playing field, they could finish the season quite well. Might just eke out a winning record. It might be good enough for a playoff place in the NFC. I like Minnesota to win this quite easily.
All right, so we are done on our picks. So we have four different from what I can check. Yeah, so I've gone Seattle, you've gone Arizona. I've gone Green Bay, you've gone Indianapolis. I've gone Atlanta.
See, there you go. You need a lead by that game.
I couldn't even say that. I tried to say it with a straight, and you've gone New Orleans, in New Orleans. I've gone New England, you've gone Houston. There we go. Good luck, my friend.
Good luck to you as well. I'm looking forward to seeing how it unfolds at the weekend. And riding that dolphin train.
All right, let's just finish off game picks this week. So last time we had you on, we talked about your NFL fandom. We kind of covered that off before. Let's just talk briefly about being a commentator, and maybe obviously the differences between football and American football and the NFL. First of all, just commentating. How much of a buzz is that, and how much do you kind of have to still stay in the moment to get the right information across when you're, I don't know, you know, calling a big goal in a Champions League final or a game, and you've got to get the information out there, but you also, you're excited probably because of what you've seen.
Yeah, I think the biggest test I ever had with that would be the two Champions League semi-finals when Liverpool came back against
Barcelona. Exactly what I thought of, yeah. And Tottenham as well, yeah.
Yeah, and Lucas Moura the night after. But you do get excited. I've always been of the opinion, Neil, that if you can convince the audience that you're enjoying it, there's more chance that they'll enjoy it with you.
Yeah.
And I always try and approach a match, whether it be an NFL game or a Premier League match or a Champions League game. I like to almost watch it with the audience. I don't ever want to feel like I'm sat above them on a plinth looking down, telling them what's going on. Right. I like to imagine that we're all sat together in a room and we're kind of chatting it through, and that they're part of what I'm thinking and I'm part of what they're thinking. That's the style that I like. And then when the big moment comes, I like to react as they would react. You know, I'm really lucky that I get invited into millions of people's living rooms every Tuesday and Wednesday night for a big Champions League match, and it's a privilege to be in there. So what I don't want to do is outstay my welcome or be intrusive while I'm there. So there's a real acceptance from me that I'm in a very privileged position, and I want to try and be part of what they're enjoying rather than something that is on the outside looking in. If it's kind of a convoluted way to say it, but I hope you get what I mean.
Yeah, you know, I get it. And I'd like to say, when you come into my living room, I'd like to apologise for the banned language a few weeks ago when when Everton played Liverpool and Van Dijk was done for the season. As you know, I was messaging you afterwards. I wasn't a happy boy. But so I apologise for my language.
you're forgiven. What I would say, though, it's becoming a lot more difficult now because there are so many more moving parts. So when I do a Premier League match, I have the camera that is basically the output, which is the game, on one screen. On another screen, I have camera two, which is the close-up camera.
Yeah.
On another screen, I have the output, because we're slightly delayed now because everything's being done remotely.
Yeah.
The actual output of what's going on the television, we're behind, but I need that for graphics, etc.
Sure.
And then, of course, I've got VAR on a fourth screen. So whenever an incident comes, I'm watching them play things over and over and over again. So I'm trying to help the viewer through it so I can I can let them know what we think is going to happen. So there's so many different things outside of the match that's actually in front of you now. So there's a lot of things to take into account, and it's getting more complicated rather than more simple. So it's a different job now than it was 18 months ago.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that VAR feed as well is not in HD because they're not always looking right. But there we go. Not going to talk about that. We're going to leave that. And what about just the differences? Obviously, NFL, sheer numbers, I guess, is one. Pace of the game and stuff with it stopping and starting. Obviously, you need to be across a lot more players when you're doing play-by-play with the NFL, which you've, of course, done now for many years.
Yeah, the difference when you do the Super Bowl or a championship game or whatever it is and you're doing the NFL, I think it's always important pre-snap to paint the picture of what's on the field, because in a football match, people have an expectancy of what it looks like. They know what it looks like because most people have seen the game. So they kind of know what it is. You don't need to describe it quite as detailed, but it's really important before a snap to tell people that there are three receivers to the left.
Right.
There is one running back in the backfield next to the quarterback, and there's a tight end on the right. And it's important to tell them that one of the people have got in motion. And people think, oh, you're trying to be too clever. No, you're not. You have to be able to see that picture to even expect what might come after. So there's a lot more description involved in terms of the pre-snap, I think, of an NFL commentary is more important than post, because post, it just becomes like anything else. Quarterback got the ball and you're just following it and then you're getting excited or disappointed or whatever it is.
Right.
But it's the pre-snap situation, which you never have in a football match, unless I suppose you get a free kick and you're described and they've got six in a wall and it's 30 yards from goal and the goalkeeper's doing what he's doing. So the pre-snap element of an NFL game makes it significantly different to a Premier League match.
Yeah, twice this year already on Sky, we've lost the audio, including right around the 2 or 3 minutes left to go in the Pittsburgh-Tennessee game. So I'm scrambling for my depth charts, and it's not radio, so I don't have to do exactly what you said. But I just thought, well, how am I going to do this? And I just thought, I don't need to tell anyone that there's somebody in the backfield. They can see that. But I'm going to say, well, there's Derrick Henry in the backfield. And then I'm going to say who Tannehill completes the pass to. And then I'm going to get the hell out of the way and let Rob Ryan analyze what we just saw. And I actually managed to get through it for a couple of minutes. But I was like, it's bizarre that this is one of the game's two undefeated teams. And all of a sudden, I've ended up on play-by-play, which was not kind of in the contract. Mate, but
I'll be honest with you. The most important thing for a commentator is knowing when to get out of the way.
Right.
Once you can park the ego to the point of, I'm going to get out of the way. And we all have to battle with that at different times. When you realise, right, now's the time for me to go, because either I don't need to say anything or this is where my summariser sprinkles that little bit of stardust on everything, that is a really good lesson for any would-be or future or developing commentators who might be listening to this. Know when to get out of the way, because the minute you get out of the way, you can let another element come in and that might be the right time and what have you. So you've certainly got that bit right. Knowing when to see to Big Rob and when to come back in and paint the picture. That's the balance.
That's it. It's time for you to get out of the way, but don't take it personal, because I'm going to get out of the way as well, because we're done. Just a reminder before we go, make sure you head over to our social channels. We're at the NR Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. You can track all of our picks. You can make yours as well and send them to us using the hashtag game picks. We'll see how you get on against us. This has been fun as always, Fletch. Much
Let's encourage everybody to join us on Friday on Five Live from 9 o'clock. You and I are going to be
back,
on there
back
with
on
the
again.
Boys.
Are we joining that? Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be doing the NFL on Friday on Five Live. So make sure you come and join us. We're trying to get one or two interviews on. OC will be there. Rocky will be there. Neil will be there. I'll be there. Half an hour talking about the league. It's going to be fantastic.
9 o'clock, yeah?
9 o'clock.
Fantastic. All right, there is Darren Fletcher. My thanks for you for listening to Game Picks this week. We'll see you next week. Bye for now. That's it for this week's episode of Game Picks. Thank you very much for listening. Episodes will be dropping every Thursday throughout the 2020 NFL season. So be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All that's left now is to say thanks to our special guest and may the best NFL fan win. Game Picks is presented by myself, Neil Reynolds. Gary Hayes is our producer, while Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. Game Picks is a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network. We'll see you next Thursday for more Game Picks.